for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 2nd, 2008, Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service teaching on the new cart.
Oh, my children, I speak to you this day. And I say to you that you are not here by accident, but I have called you forth. I have called you forth to come forth because I have a purpose to meet in your life. It is my purpose to bring you in. I brought you out in this place that I might bring you into my kingdom. I wish to bring you into my kingdom in a place that you might serve me, that you might serve me with fear, that you might serve me with reverence and honor and obedience. For I have called you forth to be my servants and to be my children. And yea, I wish to bless you. I wish to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and touch you in such a way that you will know that I am with you and that I will never ever leave you or forsake you, and I will set you free, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord would say this morning, this is an hour that my kingdom is being established in my people. This is the hour that you have prayed for. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My kingdom is coming in my people, the Lord is saying. And this is a time that in order for my kingdom to be established, in the order that I would have it to be established, it's a time for my people to come out from among them and to be holy, as I am holy, the Lord says. It's a time that there is much abuse coming against my people. There is much persecution in many forms that is manifesting right now in this hour against the families that are in my kingdom already. But they are having to stand, and having done all, continue to stand, says the Lord. And it's an hour that you must look to me as your creator, as your provider, as your healer, as your deliverer, as your strong fortress, as the strong tower that you run into in times of trouble. I am all of these. I am your all in all and your everything. And it is the hour that you are to take your eyes off of man other than as the harvest. You are to take your eyes off of man as your provider, as all of your needs being met, and look to me, the Lord is saying. This is the hour that I am blessing my people, and I am separating my people. I am separating sheep from goats in this hour, says the Lord.
Okay, Ronnie, Senor Bejew.
Stand to your feet, please. Just lift your hands before heaven. Father, we thank you. Our hands are lifted up towards your heavens. We declare your glory. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for revelation knowledge that will be imparted to your people today. We ask this, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus.
Jesus.
You may be seated. Have your Bibles with you. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I don't have a hill, so I pray from the swamps. But your hill did minister to me last night. Thank God for your word. Somebody say, thank God for the word. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say it like you mean it. Say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God the Holy Ghost got me. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if you like me or not, just praise the Lord. This is not a popularity contest. We just came here to praise the Lord. Amen. Every year the Lord gives us the word at the beginning of the year, as we know it, 2008. So I have a little slogan that goes with 2008. It means don't be late in 2008. And what God is doing in our marvelous state of Louisiana, where it never snows, but we do have mosquitoes. Our mosquitoes are our Boeing 707s and 747s. They'll just fly you off. And you can sing the song, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When mosquito comes, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. And they'll just bite you like the dickens. And they're mean and ugly. Look at your neighbor, say, they're mean and ugly. Don't tell your neighbor they're mean and ugly. Say, they're mean and ugly. And we have gnats. How many of you have gnats? Nasty little gnats. Aggravating. Haven't you been aggravated lately? How many of you have been bitten lately? Now, my subject is the new court. Everybody say the new court. God's Spirit is moving all over the earth. And if you need a subtitle for you Bible scholars, I want to talk this morning just for a few moments about the emerging church. Every time that God the Father birthed something in the earth, our enemy, the adversary, the devil, brings forth a counterfeit. There are a lot of fires in our nation that I'd love to tell you they're all from God. But they're not all from God. The devil doesn't have a problem using the name of Jesus. Somebody with me? And the devil wants to stop you from being the best you can be in everything that God has anointed you to do. I was immensely blessed last night because I have been battling discouragement and disappointments. Can you imagine a great man of God like me having problems with little bitty disappointments and discouragement and dejection and you know, all the other D's that go with it. But everybody look at your name and say, God's a re-God. God's a re-God. He's an R-E-God. He's a re-God. He's a God of regeneration. He's a God of rejuvenation. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of reconciliation. He's a God of refreshing. He's a God of renewing. He's a re-God. Everybody say, he's a re-God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. And he is going to regenerate. He is going to rejuvenate. He is going to refresh you this week. He's going to bring you afresh and anew. He's going to birth things in you that haven't been dormant for a long time because you put it on the back burner, and God is going to begin to use you and cause you to move to a different level. Everybody say, higher level. Bigger devil. And thank you, General Glenn, Pastor, CEO, Administrator. Dad's got all kind of titles, but you know, he wears every one of them. I'm sitting at the table minding my business for breakfast. See, y'all sit down, move up on the other end. I said, I didn't get the menu. Did somebody send me a memo and I didn't get it? I was supposed to move. You know, sometimes it's just the way the Holy Ghost moves around us. And he said, I want you to move to the other end. I said, no, I don't want to move there. I have no business moving there. I'm taking my time because y'all are nervous. Y'all don't know what I'm going to do next. All right. Everybody say, emerging church. You got your pencils? This is Bible camp. And we're having camp meeting. And so I have 45 minutes to give you 40 hours of food. Right fast. And if you don't, I put on paper, and you're not going to understand what I'm saying. Are you with me? I believe one of the things that God is going to do in the emerging church in America, the first thing, and he's already done it, started doing it in 2008, there will be a new administration on the horizon. Our government is being changed. Our government will never be the same as we know it. Listen to what I'm saying to you today. I prophesy to you the word of the Lord. Our government is making a 190-degree turn. It will never be the same again. But God is raising up a people that are called by His name, that will begin to hearken to the voice of the name of the Lord and will begin to stand up for righteousness. Because if you don't stand up for righteousness, you will fall for anything. God is on the move. I don't care where God moves. It's time for us to tear down the denominational barriers. It's time to bring down your marquee. It's time to put away pettiness and begin to say what the Lord is saying. God has put a fire in you. He has put a spirit in you. And it's time for you to begin to say what the Lord said. Begin to proclaim and begin to say, that which the Lord has said shall surely come to pass. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You may not have a hill like this, brother. You may have a bayou like I have. You may have a pasture in the back. It may be an outhouse to the in-house, but it doesn't matter where you are. You have to begin to stand up. Yeah.
for righteousness. This is a righteous God that we're serving. And we're living in a righteous world. Because it's His world. It don't belong to the devil. Say, it don't belong to the devil.
The next thing we're going to experience as the cart begins to move in that direction, and I'll just give me a few moments to develop this, and I'll tell you what the cart's all about. If you're in 1 Chronicles 13, say amen.
Amen.
Gee, y'all are obedient. Second thing I noticed was the new level of understanding at the gates. We're going to experience different situations this year. At every gate, there's going to be a challenge. How many of you have been pressured lately? I must have the wrong church. I've come on the wrong date. Been pressed upon. I was talking to brother at breakfast. I said, we like to find the right vernacular for everything. I said, we don't call it arguing. We call it having it a heating discussion. Just a heated discussion. And you know, my wife and I have a heated discussion. We don't like to call that just fussing. We call it heated discussion. Y'all not going to help me preach. It's like you don't have an affair anymore. It's not a sin. It's just a thing. Are you with me? So the levels of understanding at the gates. I'm going to briefly talk to you about the Issachar anointing. The tribe of Issachar. These great men of God. God is birthing in our midst people with Issachar anointing. God is also birthing out of the same gate, out of the east gate, the Zebulun anointing, where you will begin to, as this brother's doing, having the pen of a ready writer. And if time permits, I'll tell you a little bit about the pen of a ready writer, because it's how you manage your tongue. The devil is not your greatest enemy. Your tongue is.
Amen.
We create more problems for ourselves than the devil could ever dream about giving us. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I'm blessed? Honey, would you stand up? I know you're hiding back there. I want y'all to know I've been married to this lovely woman for 30 years.
Amen.
And I thought she was going to be up here helping me today, but she's got camp duty. Now, when you take a good look at this woman, she has been blessed to be married to such a wonderful man like me for 30 years. And, brother, I believe in deliverance. My wife used to have a skillet ministry. Let my brother I was having breakfast with this morning. Where y'all hide? I told him, I said, she raised a skillet up to me one day and I saw something in her eyes. And I got real smart, brother, and I said, something? You better move. See, when the devil knows that you're serious about what you believe, he's going to get off your property. But you're going to have to take the word of God and drive it off your property. You're going to have some bulldog tenacity. You're going to have to stand up and say, devil, you are trespassing.
Amen.
There are laws that abide in my life that are against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. You've got to move. Both of us are not living here. One of us is leaving, and guess who's not leaving? He usually lets me preach at night because I have a little longer, so I got to hurry up today. Doc, you're going to love this. All you deliverance ministers, we're all deliverance ministers, by the way, but some of you specialize in it more than others. A new dimension of spiritual warfare. It's on the horizon. We have what we call an outpouring once a month in our church in Louisiana. And last month, the sovereign spirit of God moved in and we had deliverance all night. And they're looking at us real strange. Like, what? You're not going to prophesy to us? You're not going to give us a word of knowledge? You're not going to ring our bells? Nope. Because we realize when things are not moving, something's against you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, amen, brother. That was so deep. I know we're not going to get to all this today, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. A new release of spices. About the spices. In Exodus 30, you will find that when God told Moses how to set up the tabernacle, he said, now, I want you to use these five main ingredients. Then he went on a little bit further in that chapter, and he said, now, after that, I want you to use five sweet spices. Now, help me with my math. How much is 5 plus 4? 9. What does 9 talk to us about? It talks about judgment. It talks about completion. It talks about finality. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know that there's more than just singing yabba dabba doo, how are you? That God has put gifts and talents in every one of us, and He wants us to use it. Now, my wife's word for 2008 was explosion. And Sister Mildred used the word explosion. Isn't that marvelous? And the fifth thing is a fresh move of God. New administration on the horizon.
First Chronicles chapter 13, let's read. And verse 1, it said, and David consulted with the captains of a thousand, of hundreds, and with 20 leaders. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves together, or gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the, everybody have this in your Bible, ark, not the spark, the ark, of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Everybody say Saul. Speaks of leftovers. The administration of Saul, as we've known it, for the last 2,000 years, is over. God has stepped over the threshold of time and has begun to bring the fivefold ministry to the forefront. So the new administration has begun to operate in the local church. Everybody say local church. I like to use this for an example or an analogy. The hand. Everybody see my hand. Everybody say thumbs up. The thumb speaks of the apostleship of God. The thumb governs. Everybody say the thumb governs. I'll give you the five G's of Ephesians 4:11. Then there's the prophet finger. The prophet finger, what does it do? It guides. The all-seeing eye of God, the prophet of the church. Then the evangelist, he gathers. He's the G. He gathers people unto himself for the point of exhortation, to encourage them in the things of God. And the pastors, they guard the people. It's the pastor's job to guard the flock that God has put in his administration. He's not to lord over them, he's to guard them. And the teacher, he's to ground them in truth. Everybody say, in truth. Now, I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing because time will not permit for us to go to all the scriptures. Jot this down. Ephesians 2:20 says, there is no other foundation laid, but that has been laid but by the apostles and prophets. Amen? So if we only had three fingers working in our government of the church, in our administration, that means we're not working with a whole hand. So now what God is doing in 2008, and you can't be late, God is beginning to speak to us that the apostles and the prophets are beginning to be set into the local church, so that will be government over the church. We already have the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who is all-seeing, who knows all things, and he will reveal to us that which is to come. But the hand of God has never been fully displayed on the earth because, he was talking about the ecumenical order, because men of like precious faith have decided that the days of the apostles were over. There's no need for an apostle and there's no need for a prophet. And this is why the church is in such a mess. Y'all not going to shout this morning. Well, I'm going to get on this side. Somebody go, hallelujah! I came to praise the Lord! Wow. Y'all are great. Now, David was a man after the heart of God. Saul was a man after things. Saul was elected by the people, and we've had a lot of elected officials in our churches, and I've heard a whole bunch of them, but you know, I'm not moved by if somebody can speak elegantly or he can cross all of his T's and dot all of his I's. But I am moved when a person or a man or woman of God can stand up under the anointing of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, and can speak as the oracles of God, as the Spirit gives him utterance. That I am moved by. Saul used his size to create terror and control. David was a wee little tad. And David, under the inspiration of the Lord one day, thought while he was tending just a few sheep, while all the mega churches were running around saying, you know, they're running and thanking God for all the blessings. Oh, God, give us more money. God, give us more. But nobody is ever shouting, God, give me more of you. See the difference between Saul and David. Saul was after fleshly thing, earthly thing. But David was after the heart of God. Did David ever cause problems? Did David ever fall and trip? Oh, yeah. Such as all of us. But the thing that was different in David's life, he knew how to get up. The Bible said he was quick to repent. So he got up, he picked himself up like men, and he put on his breeches and said, Saul, as for me, we're going to praise the Lord. Well, I don't feel like praising God this morning. When do you ever feel like praising God? Flesh? We don't. We have to discipline ourselves every day. I thought, you know, after 30-some-odd years of ministry, certainly it was going to get easier. Was I ever shocked?
Yeah.
David said in verse 2 to all the congregation of Israel, to his church, if it seem good unto you and it be of the Lord our God. If we would use that vernacular a whole lot more. For an example, you might want to consider this. I'm tired of people telling me that I'm spirit-filled. I've got people come to us and say, I'm spirit-filled, and then they manifest. I don't know what spirit they're of. It's time for us to begin to appropriate that we're kingdom people. It's not going to happen. It's already in progress. And the cart is moving. The cart that we're going to talk about this morning was in another section. The enemy had now had the cart. They have the Ark of the Covenant, and they had brought it into their possession, and they could not do anything with it. You can take the devil and bring him into camp, and it won't make a bit of difference because he cannot alter, nor can he change the move of God. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't big enough. And it was a transitional time where they were going to take the ark from one place, one location, and move it into another. It's also a time for those who have been misappropriating the ark of God, the presence of God, they will fall and die. Does that shake you? It ought to shake you. When you misappropriate the presence of God, when you misuse the presence, one of the words this morning about abuse, when you misappropriate the things of God, you're going to stand before God for that. You can't pray a little quick prayer and erase it. Because, see, when you make a mess, you got to clean it up. How many of you know God doesn't make a mess? Y'all loosen up. God making me work to preach this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not a mess. I've been in a mess. So, in essence, if you're taking notes, the new administration must arise. It's going to begin to happen corporately before it can happen globally. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord, in our houses, in our personal lives. We have to judge ourselves in the hour that we're living in, being that we are in faith or in unbelief. We have to judge ourselves in the hour we're living in, being that we're either in faith or unbelief. Which means to me, we have to make some adjustments. How many of you have air conditioning in your house? Does it have a dial? You can make it cooler or hotter. We have to make adjustments in our lives. We're going to be pressed upon in our country. But we'll remember when it says, we the people. We don't ever want it to say, us the people. We don't ever want it to be past that. It's we the people. And if we believe in being united, then we're going to have to begin to work together in the ministry. We're going to begin to synergize together. It's a time that we don't give much time to titles and differences of opinion. It's a time when we're going to gather together like David's great army, and we're going to be one word, one spirit, and one accord.
And it doesn't really matter to me if you drive a Honda or not. Some of you will get that down the road.
So we're going to have to change our mindsets.
About that change of mindsets.
You see, we don't need another seminar for people to teach us how to become churchy.
You're going to help me, brother? Come on. Hallelujah.
See, we've been doing church for 2,000 years. The church world, as we know it, has been doing church for 2,000 years. We don't want to get into church. We want to get into God. I've had a much church. I don't want another sermon if I don't have His presence. I can teach you how to do topical text or exposition. I can teach you how to put sermons together in 15 minutes. But that doesn't mean a hill of beans if we don't have His presence. And it's obvious that not everybody in the White House has the presence of God. I'm not trying to be politically correct. If they did, they wouldn't pass such idiotic laws.
That's right.
that they pass. We think more of life than we do. I read the latest consensus the other day that 1,500 pastors are leaving the ministry every month. Now, you want to tell me, do they feel a little pressed upon? Is there something rising? Is the administration working? And see, it's not the devil trying to change your administration. It's God the Father who is trying to change the way that we walk and talk and believe. It's time for radical change. And He will allow these situations, all packed, everything, He will allow that to explode and escalate just so He can get your attention. Our younger generation, Brother Glenn, cannot survive. They don't know what it's like to have canned goods and pickled jars. And they have no idea having potatoes buried in a little old shack. Just drive through. Order it. You can have it your way at McDonald's. And we become fast food junkies. Some of us have grown to twice our size. And the younger generation, there's a great rate of obesity. Why? You can dunk all the donuts you want to. I never forget, it was a doc or somebody started preaching about donuts one time I was in camp. Man, and I love donuts. I wish he'd have shut up. I love them suckers. And they loved me too. And listen, my profile was telling on me. I began to really look like a healthy looking Baptist preacher. You know, they feed the Baptist preachers real good. I got a lot of pastor friends of Baptists. I said, "Brother, you eat better than I do, brother. Man, I might have to change my denomination." The only thing I can get by that is getting bigger physically. But you see, the administration has to change, amen, because we're not teaching real food from heaven. We're not giving in the rhema word from God. We're taking the letter of the word and we're not adding any spirit to it. And for most of us, we've crippled our own selves. And Paul said it to the church at Corinth. He said, you know, we have many instructors, but few fathers. What does a father do that really loves his children? He encourages his children. And when he does, it empowers him. But a father who lives by the letter and is legalistic, he cripples his son. And for the fathers to be restored back to the son, there's going to have to be a shift in the administration of how we used to do things. Church is not going to be like we used to do it. I used to have church all figured out. I've got 3 points, a benediction, and hey, glory to God. Aren't you glad you came? Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. We've gotten so spiritual in church, we don't have altar times anymore. We don't need that. You can get that on the internet and watching these idiots telling you that you dial 9112 and just send me $150 and I will send you a prophetic word. That is more pathetic than prophetic. You're afraid to talk about, you preachers need some backbone. You need to get up and expose the devil. He's a lie to your people. And one guy called me. I said, "Hey, I'll take the call." And he said, "I got a word for you for $150. So I got a word for you for nothing. Thus saith the Lord."
Yeah.
One lady told me, she said, "You was making pretty eyes at me." I said, "Who told you that?" My wife is standing there. I said, "Honey, did I make pretty eyes at her?" The devil is going to try you. I preached on Deborah the last time I was here. Made a bunch of them preachers mad at me. Dude, you mean they really have women apostles? Prophetess too? If you need a title. Deborah was, J.L. was Deborah's protege. She trained her. And the captain couldn't kill her. He said, "Let it be known in all Israel that the hand of God was the people were delivered by the hand of a woman." Now, we can hermeneutically take that as just a female gender. But we are the woman of God. We're the church. So what are we birthing? What are we nurturing? I believe the whole thing has started since when this brother started talking about, you know, being discouraged and everything. I mean, he set the stage. Now, you get a grip of this. When God sets the stage for a camp, He wants that to be done.
Yeah. Amen.
And I noticed a lot of you didn't get up here because you were disappointed, because you didn't want anybody to know that you had wounds. The devil told me 3 times, "Don't you get up there, you're a man of God. They're going to laugh." I said, "Shut up.
Amen.
I'm the person up there, we're not." I almost tripped my wife getting up there. And when I need help, you better not stand in my way. Now, if we had that kind of tenacity, if we had that kind of belief, I'm moving right along. I ain't left point one yet. Come on. Transition. Turn with me to Matthew 17. That's what I like about the Holy Ghost. I don't know why. A lot of times lately, I don't know why I bring notes, but I bring them. Just in case you don't think that I didn't study. And I'm just going to do a little
Pentecostal jig here, okay? I might have to preach a little bit just for a few minutes, but just bear with me. Because, see, I could read it this way. And after 6 days, and Jesus came, and he was on the mountain, and there was Peter, James, and John, and they was looking for him, and they said, Peter, do you see Jesus? But I see two other men standing with him. I see Elijah, Lord, and I see Moses. Somebody help me. I believe we're being transformed. Now, that didn't do a hill of beans for you white folks. Now let me preach to you the white man's religion. After 6 days, read with me. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Does it say apart or separate? And was transfigured. Now, by the way, if you don't have a King James Version, I don't know why you're reading that, Bob. This is the real stuff. I got released from the pastor. This is my church service right now. And when I'm done, I give it right back to him. That's always allowed me to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. Now, are you ready? And was transfigured before them. We are at the brink of having real transformation in the church. Something happened to Peter, James, and John. Something happened to Elijah and Moses. Elijah had to be brought back from heaven, and Moses had to be resurrected from the dead to appear on this hill. Do I have that right, brother? Can I say hill? Hill. Everybody say, hill. And his face did shine as the what? So he had a glow about him. How many of you have ever seen Jesus and lived? Thank you for not raising your hand. And his raiment was white as the light. Everybody say the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Oh, really? Big mouth Peter, was it really good for you to be here? Is this the same dude that quit Jesus numerous times, went fishing, brought a bunch of disciples with him, said, I'm quitting church. I wish he would! And become the functioning body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read this real slow. It is good for us to be here. Do you know where you're positioned in the 21st century church? If thou wilt, let us make here, isn't that just like church folks? Three tabernacles. The first church, the second church, and the third church. Uh-huh. I feel a little preacher coming on. And one for thee. We're not going to leave the Lord. Of course, we've got to put him first on everything. We've got to add Jesus to everything we do, whether he told us or not. And one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, when you see this word, get a revelation of this. A bright cloud. Everybody say a bright cloud. Not a dark cloud. Not a shady cloud. A bright cloud overshadowed them that speaks of the Shekinah glory of God. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, out of the glory realm, out of the anointing of God, out of the deposit of God, our glory realm, a voice began to speak and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I'm wondering, when is the church going to get out of infanthood and begin to hear ye him? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Now, you ready to shout? And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise. Everybody say, arise. And be not afraid. For when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Verse 7 says, and Jesus came. That means he had to move from where he was to where they were. Don't look at me strange. He had to leave from here to get down to where they were. And we had the three amigos there, Peter, James, and John. And the Bible said, he touched them. He didn't give them a Pentecostal touch. He didn't give them a charismatic touch. He didn't give them a Lutheran touch. He didn't give them a Methodist touch. Touched them when he was transformed before them in his glory for a moment. And when he touched them, their eyes were opened and they saw no one there but Jesus.
He did away with the dispensation of Moses. He did away with the prophet dispensation. And he stood before them, complete as I am. And when he touched them in that glory, if you go back and read it, Peter, James, and John, never the same again.
Hallelujah! To be touched by His glory. Not just getting somebody to lay hands on you again, but to be touched, to make contact with the glory, with the presence of God.
The new levels of understanding at the gate. Go back to 1 Chronicles this time, chapter 12, real quickly. I'll get a few of them in here before lunch. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32 said, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandments." Now watch this. "Along with the Issachar were the Zebulons, and Zebulon such as went forth to battle, expert in war." I told you there's a new release of spiritual warfare. Experts in war. While the Issachar people saw and understood the times, the Zebulon people knew how to write about the things of God. They had a spiritual strategy on how to defeat the enemy. And every one of us individually need a strategy to defeat the enemy in our lives. This brother talked about being on the hill with his wife last night for the life of his son, because that pretty little seducing thing was after him. I believe in Virginia they call them drop-dead gorgeous. When a young man is full of hormones and some pretty little thing talks about, he's not talking, he's not thinking with his spirit, he's thinking with his hormones. Such as you and I were fools at one time. This is why Paul was able to write, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you to believe a lie? We have been duped by the world system because we have inducted it in the church, and it's still a soul's mentality. It's still leftovers. There's nothing fresh coming from heaven. It's still about being theoretically correct." I don't want to be theoretically correct. I just want to be right with the Father. And when God talks about apostolic anointing, He's talking about sent ones. When He sent the disciples, He said, He sent them. He didn't went them. He sent them. And there's a lot of jacks in the box who want to stand up for a pedigree and a degree to be tied behind their names, and they want to be recognized by men. But God is raising men and women today in the body of Christ that don't care about titles. I have a doctorate degree. That doesn't make me anointed with one iota. Nothing but a piece of paper. I did it because the Holy Ghost told me to get it, because there are some churches that I'm going to be able to cross over into without the title. I can't get in. And so therefore, I'm going to be able to stand up and proclaim the oracles of God into their ears, and that God can touch those that He wants to. As for that, I could give you. Unless I could throw that thing in the back of my lock and forget about it. And I was one of those things. I fought God for getting. I preached against it. I used to tell people, "You already have a PhD. You praise Him daily. Hallelujah." And the Holy Ghost told me, "You quit that foolishness. You know what I told you to do." Everybody said, "Dad knows best." Amen. Paul said to the Corinthian churches, "I didn't come to you with enticing words, but in demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Say, "The Holy Ghost."
Holy Ghost.
Understanding of levels at the gates. Turn with me quickly to Psalms 45. Brother, God's going to give you a different pen. Your writing is going to increase with a different level. I want to give you the scripture. Psalms 45 verse 1 says, "My heart is inditing in a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." What you're going to speak and declare into the heavens on top of your hill, you're going to put it down on paper. I know there have been times in your life, the Lord whispered it to me. You went off of that hill and said, "Lord, I wish I could remember all those things I said to you and the things that you..." And the Lord says, "I'm going to bring it back to your remembrance, and you will write every word down. And get ready to give away those books and send them, because they've been asked for in the Holy Ghost." I heard the Lord, three nations crying for your books last night. Now, if I'm a false prophet, you tell me next time you send, and I'll repent before the body. When I know God told me. I don't do this to tickle anybody's ears. See, if we forget about us, we can minister. "Oh, Dad, you really squeezed me this morning. 5 more minutes. I'm just getting warmed up."
Hey! At the gates of understanding, write this down, your understanding will be peeled back. The things that the enemy and darkness has kept from you, when you get to praying in the Holy Ghost, God is going to cause this anointing fragrance that He talked about know about Moses about, and it's type of a fragrance. It's called citronella. You know what citronella is? Yeah. What do you do with it? You ward off flies. Beelzebub.
Amen.
Here you are studying and meditating and praying in the Holy Ghost, and God the Father, He's just causing you to write things on paper, and all of a sudden you got 150 distractions.
Oh, that's right.
But if you notice before the distraction, an odor sets in your room.
Yes.
Smells. The aroma begins to change. But when you get into the throne room of the Father, He begins to pour all kinds of ointments. And if I had time today, I'd take you and show you where all the gifts, the fivefold ministry, have a different ointment and anointing on their lives. And if you begin to understand when you're being synergized by the Spirit of God that this fragrance begins to develop, then you know who's talking. And He doesn't have to say, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so or I'm Apostle So-and-so. Hallelujah. No, you don't have to use any title. When you begin to speak in the articles, God's going to say, that was an apostolic anointing. That was a prophetic anointing. That was an evangelistic thrust. That was a pastoral decision. That was the teacher coming forth. You'll know them by their fragrance. You like that, Francis? You're not just known by their gifts. You know them by their fragrance.
Amen.
You walk in the church and say, man, it smells bad in here. Wasn't because they were eating red beans and rice. I'm trying to be kosher. Gas smells bad. So do demons. So these great men of God that stand behind a podium every Sunday, great bishops of God stand before God's people, and they're hindered by the powers of darkness because the church folk pray against them, don't pray for them. I got a new revelation on Leviathan. We spent 3 months with him in our church, about killed us. But we got a secret. God gave us a key!
Hallelujah.
And we exposed him. And we took the Isaiah 27 sword and we cut his head off. Leviathan, the pride and arrogance. We don't have that in the church, do we? Can I have about 10 more minutes, Dad? 10 more minutes? 5 more minutes? Can I have 2 minutes? When your understanding of begins to be peeled back, what you could not see, you now begin to see. You got to come into, cross over, and come out of. At the gatekeeper at times, we need to realize that we must begin to build and prepare good portership in our cities. That every church in the city is a light. We just happen to be positioned in our church as the entrance of the city at the north gate. Now, I don't have time to preach on the north gate. But the north gate talks about righteous judgment and true worship. Haggai, Zechariah teamed together. They synergized to restore the temple worship back in Jerusalem. After coming out of Babylonian captivity, Haggai was the first post-apostolic prophet to begin to prophesy, restore! And he said, why your God's house lie waste, but your house is filled. He said, consider your ways. And he brought all the dignitaries with him. And they established the fivefold ministry before the people. Because the fivefold ministry is the government of God. How many of you think you can drive home with 2 wheels in your car? Not very far. You have to have the full impact. Why am I so strong in the fivefold ministry? Ask God. Somebody's got to be a voice. I have my gifting, you have your gifting. I have my anointing, you have your anointing. But together, we can synergize and take the city. I have another word for it. I call it compound anointing. Hallelujah. Good portership. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 28. And Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and out of his father's house, 20 and 2 captains. God is raising a new type of priest. We're coming out of the Levitical order of priesthood into the Zadok priesthood. So, well, I don't quite understand that. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Did he not? Did he give him half a tithe? I got a church priest. You get half a tithe. I said, give you half your mama. Half a tithe. I said, you're going to pray to the Holy God and give him half a tithe? And so that means you give him half of you? And your heart's divided? Aaron was a high priest, but Jesus, by the order of Melchizedek, was a great high priest. Now I'm going to show you where it was lost. It was lost through the Zadok priesthood. S-A-D-O-C. The Sadducees. The Sadducee order was by the order of the Zadok priest. The same Zadok priest always went before David in battle, and they went out with instruments, and they went out praising and worshiping and adoring God to set up that which God was going to do before they slayed the giants. Melchizedek means the Lord of righteousness. Zadok, the righteousness. We are
the righteous sons and daughters of God in the hour that we're living in, and we no longer have to wait for another oath. We no longer have to wait for another order. This is the final order. And he told the Levite, I could not give you an oath because I knew that in time, after sundry time, I was going to change it.
To the Zadok priest. They ask for nothing. They just worship God. His brother said it last night. When we really worship and get intimate with God, there's not a devil or a demon can stand in that presence. But if you're licking your wounds and murmuring and complaining, you're inviting every evil work to attach itself to that sore. All the flies will come and you'll be most miserable. This is a lot of paraphrasing. All right? Same chapter, chapter 12. Let's finish the order and I'm done. But all these strive together for working. Ministry is going to begin to change. Your pastors are going to begin to change before your eyes, and he won't be able to give you a real understanding of what's happening because God is bringing leaderships together. Brethren, we need to go back to the simplicity of the gospel. Together we stand, not divided. We need to stand with brothers like Brother Glenn and people who have set up themselves apart and have full-fledged deliverance ministry. We live in a metropolitan city. Do you know how many deliverance churches we have? Ours and another church. People come from the inner city and they come in and we begin to minister to them and they manifest. I said, what's the matter? I said, be still. Let God be God. And we minister to them. They've never seen this. They've never seen the power of God in the church. They've never seen the old mamas come up to the altar and wail for hours. And by the time the organ is set up and the Shekinah glory began to roll from the back of the church and they began to shout and dance and began to move about and the presence of God would fill the temple.
Amen.
You never left the same way you came in. I know Brother Green cries for that. I cry for that. I want to see the power of God move. But we must be careful with the church that is emerging that is not from God. False anointings. If I had time, I could take you to 1 Samuel and show you where they had five golden knives and they were birthing hemorrhoids. It was a false anointing. False gods. Don't worship your pastor, but pray for him. Don't worship your praise and worship team, but pray for him. Hallelujah. My time's out. If Brother Glenn sees fit before I leave, I'll give you the rest of the story. Stand to your feet. Y'all got more ministry coming at 1 o'clock. And brothers, we're moving. We're moving up. We're no longer going to be down. Ladies, you can have all the downtime you want. We're moving up. Hallelujah. Come on, raise your hands. Glory to God. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, I don't know. What's your name?
Angelo.
That's a wonderful name. Everybody say, God,
bless Angelo.
In the name of Jesus. Fire, Lord. Fire, Lord. In Jesus' name. For the Lord would surely say unto thee that government shall rise even within thy midst, saith the Lord, and thy hand shall be put to the plow, saith God. I shall bring thee even to a greater and higher region, saith the Lord. Begin to expand thy borders, saith the Lord. Thy arena is way too small, saith God. Expand thy vision, saith God. For the Lord God has blown upon it, saith the Lord, and the winds of God will begin to blow from every direction, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the Lord has truly said, thou hast cried to me, the Lord, there truly must be something else. And the Lord says, Son, that which I do from within. And as I begin to birth that which is within thee, saith the Lord, I shall begin to call you to prophesy to every direction, to the north, the south, the east, and the wind. And thou shalt rise up a people, yes, saith the Lord, a people of all nations and of all kinds, saith God. Thou shalt not only bless your nations, but many other nations shall come, saith the Lord, and many sons and daughters shall
arise from within thy bosom, even as I gave to Abraham, saith the Lord, I gave unto thee, for the fire of God shall surely burn and move upon thy heart, saith the Lord, and yea, even thy wife shall be a great mother in the midst, saith the Lord, and she shall have many daughters, saith God, and compasses shall rise up and begin to teach them by one, by two, and hundreds and thousands shall come. Don't think that the Lord is a small thing. Increase thy knowledge, increase thy vision, saith the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord have shined upon thee, and thou hast been known to be faithful, saith the Lord, and because of thy loyalty, I bring you up to another level. It is not, despise not the days of small things, saith the Lord, for thy God shall bring thee as healings upon thy wings, and the day of, and seasons and times shall be imparted unto thee, and thou shalt even be as the Issachar anointing, and thou shalt understand the signs and the times, and the pen of a ready writer shall be upon thy wife's hand, and she shall write the things of God, and you shall begin to declare it, and saith the Lord, and even there be churches after other churches' birth, and thus saith the Lord, when will this slow down to the sun? Don't look for it to slow down, just look for it to speed up, saith the Lord, because that which I'm doing quick, and I'm doing it now, and I do it in you, saith the Lord God.
Hallelujah! Hey! Glory to God! Woo! Well, let's bless the food. Father, we thank you for the food. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. We ask that you cause this food to be nourishment to our bodies. And Lord, let us grow to be as old as Sister Mildred. We give you praise. We bless the Lord. We bless this service. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Everybody take a deep breath and exhale. Say, thank you, Father, for refreshing. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you 1:15.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.